Blog Talk Radio.
Living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord?
Well, praise the Lord. He's gave us another day, and he's seen us through it. Now, here we are in the evening. Let's get ready. Pardon me. And get back into his word. Well, we're going to go to him in prayer here first. And ask him for guidance. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we come seeking guidance and understanding of this your word, Heavenly Father, so that we can walk upright and closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there are some things, Father, where we just don't know and don't understand as of yet. But we do know that when we seek, the answers, they will be given. Now, Father, as we open your word, be with us. Open our hearts and minds to be receptive. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Yeah. We're going to be going into chapter 7 this evening here in God's Word. We've been through the first 6 chapters. And now We're going to be talking a little bit here, gentlemen, about our counterparts. And learn a little bit about the treating of them. So let's begin here with verse 1. It says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Evidently, the Corinthian church had wrote to Paul about the subject. You know, this Corinthian church had a lot of things going on that shouldn't have been going on. Just like in our churches today. Because really, we've got a lot of the same thing going on in our churches. I know several around not too far away that has pastors that are living in adultery. They have more than one living wives. And yet, they're passing themselves off as a pastor and a minister of the gospel. That won't work. And it tears the churches down. Because, you see, the ones that I know, right now, they are down so low that they are about ready to close. Our churches are getting into worse than sad shape. They're done way down below that level. Verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now this word fornication is the act of sex between two that are not married. They're single. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. In other words, you treat them with respect and love and honesty. And you're not out looking for others. That goes for both. Husband and wife, both. 4. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also, the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Well, those of us that are married, or those of us that have been married, we know that there's a whole lot of truth there in that fourth verse. But a lot of times, they can make us do things that we'd rather not do, especially at that time. Now, 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Are you seeing? He's telling us there, actually, about what happens there in 4. Because we don't really have that sexual power just on our own. Whether we are the man, the husband, or the wife. Because we are there and we tempt each other. Now, he told us there in 5, not to withhold ourselves from each other, only for a time of fasting and prayer. Verse 6, but I speak this by permission and not commandments. You see, the apostle there, he's not really taking sides, and especially with that Jewish view that they held, that it was a sin if a man reached 20 without being married. And you know, they did. You see, Paul, he said he kind of regarded the matters in that matter, especially, more or less optional. Not in the way most of them believed. He was to be married by the time he was 20. Paul says, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. You see, whether you are one needs a wife or you are one that don't want a wife, that's something that is, again, a gift of God. You know, Paul, that's what Paul was telling him. He wasn't wishing that all of them that was in the church and all were single. Paul could have even been a widow, we don't know. But really, to get to the point of that, each man has that gift of God, whether to be married or to stay single or celibate. This is what Paul's warning us about. Now, 8. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. At the time that Paul wrote this letter, he was still single. We don't know, you know, whether he was a widow or whether he'd never been. We don't know, because we've never been told about that part of Paul's life. But we do know that from the time he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and all, that Paul was a single man. Now, 9. After telling them that, he goes on here in 9 and he says, but if they cannot contain, in other words, you can't behave yourself, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. In other words, if you can't behave yourself, It's a lot better for you to go ahead and get married than it is to go and misbehave and wind up burning in that lake of fire for eternity. Because you just couldn't behave. Now, and to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Uh-oh. We got a lot of that going on today, and it's just as present in the church as it is out here in the world. The percentage is the same. You wouldn't think that, would you? But it is, and that's true. You can check into that and find out. Now, 11. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. You hear this, people? Or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. You see, the only way she can have another husband, as long as that one is living, is to be reconciled back to him. But that's not the way they're working today. We've got them out here that has 5 and 6 living spouses, both women and men. I know a pastor right now that's got 3 living wives, and his wife right now has got 2 living husbands. You don't want to sit under one like that. No. The Bible tells us that. In fact, we was reading part of that this morning. When they can't be right in the Word of God, then we're not to have anything to do with them. And they should be denied, and the church needs to get rid of them. But the churches don't. They're letting them go, and it's spreading through the congregation. And that's why right now 55% of all marriages end in divorce. I'll tell you something, maybe. Now, Twelve. But to the rest speak I, if any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Now she may not be a believer, but they are married. But he still is not to put her away because of that. Because if he is actually a born-again child of God, living it, then he becomes an example that just could help her get her life straightened out and back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Back on the road to where she also then could become a child of the living God. Now, 13, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. You see, it works both ways, for both man and woman. Because once that happens, as long as that spouse is living, you've got to remain single or else you're living in adultery. Now, 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. See what I'm saying? She can help lead him to the Lord. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. You see, it works both ways. Else were your children unclean. But now they are holy. You see, he's not telling you there that they are automatically born into the family of God, but he's telling you that it is one of the best ways for them to obtain that, because they are living with a child of God that is doing the things of God, and they can see how God deals with them, and it can cause them to turn their life around. Now, he goes on here to tell you, though, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. You see, that departing does not mean that you're going to miss heaven. But it can lead you that way, because if you continue not to be a believer, that's what's going to happen. You'd have been better off to have stayed with that unbelieving partner. That goes for man or woman. Now, he goes on here telling us more about this here in 16. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Which is what we were talking about, see? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? That's why he don't want you leaving him. 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Just what he's given us here, he's saying, has been ordained in all the churches. Now, 18. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. But he's talking about that circumcision of the flesh, because that was being used back then too, following Paul everywhere he went. That group was that after Paul would leave a place, they was going back and telling him, well, you know, for you to really be saved, you've got to be circumcised, talking to all the men. But you know something? We all have to be circumcised, both men and women, because we have to have that circumcision of the heart. That old man Satan has got to be cut out of that heart. Got to be got rid of. Now, 19, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Whatever God has called you for, that's what you walk in. If he's called you to be a deacon, be a deacon. Don't be something else until and unless he moves you. And he, a lot of times, will move us because he knows each of us a lot more and a lot better than we know ourselves. When he first called me, I was called into the ministry, but I was put into traveling as an evangelist, preaching from church to church in different churches. And I have preached in most all of the churches, even most all of the different denominations. Churches, except for two. And that's the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church. And I didn't preach to them because to get in there to preach, you've got to have went to their seminary. You heard me say seminary, because it is like a cemetery, because a lot of them come out of there preaching about a Christ they don't even believe in. Now, that every man died in the same calling wherein he was called. 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You see, we are all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 23. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Don't be out here following the ways of this world and the men of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a price for you. And that price was great. Very great. One that you would not have done yourself. And yet he loved us enough to pay that price. That price was death. That price was beatings, torment, mocked, rejected, spit on, stripped, shamed. And he took it all for you and I and those that will follow. Twenty-four, brethren, that every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now, there in 25, we're going to kind of change tunes just a little bit. So now, concerning virgins, he says, I have no commandment of the Lord Yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. In other words, he's telling you he'd rather that you'd be a virgin, you'd be single. You wouldn't have so much distraction pulling you away from God. But that don't always work either with all of mankind. That's for sure. Now, verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that is good for a man so to be. 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. He tells you very plainly. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Now they've taken this verse. This is what you hear me talk about all the time, about taking the verse here and the verse there and the verse somewhere else, taking 2 or 3 days and working on it to make it say what you want it to say. But they use this, these two verses here together to tell you that if you're divorced, it's all right to remarry. But we know bare neck because he just got too jealous. If you're losing a wife, seek not one. Now, in 28, he says, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such I have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. He said it's better if you had never married. That's what he's talking about here. But if you do get married, you haven't sinned because you got married. Unless you married someone that is divorced, and got a living husband, or a lady marry a man that's been divorced and still got a living wife. Now, 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. In other words, you've got to put the Lord first in your life. That's what it's all about. And they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of the world passeth away. He's letting us know all these things. And he's letting us know why. Well, this world's going to pass away. In 32, that I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. That's why he was saying he'd like to see us all stay single. Now, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And all of us that's been married, we know how easy that is, don't we? There was a time that was my way. That was pleasing her, first of all. she was first in my life, but it cost me. You see, I went into the ministry. Things changed. And the Lord took her home. A young lady. And thank God that he did give me another one, and he gave me a good one that has been with me through my ministry and all, and has stood by my side. But now she's not with me either. I'm praying for her, and she needs your prayer for healing. Now, Verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. You see, it's not just a one-way street. This all works for both. Now, 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that which you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. In other words, you've got a girlfriend, you're both being hay, you're both children of God. Now, if it comes to a point to where it is getting so hard for you to be right and righteous with each other, it's good for you to go ahead and get married. That keeps things right. And he lets us know that there. Now in 37, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin. In other words, you stay single and you can still keep your virgin and keep things right. He says, you doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Because you each can spend more time with the Lord and in his work and in his word. Now, 39. You know, I was telling you about if you divorce, staying that way. 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will only in the Lord. She has to be careful who she marries. But she is at liberty to be married if her husband is dead. That's the only way. As long as your spouse is living, you are tied to that one, whether you are divorced or not. That's why all married couples, instead of just up and fighting and getting out here and getting divorced, you need to sit down and talk and take the word of God and work with each other and get things figured out to where you can stay together. Because if you don't, you're subject to be very, very sorry. He tells her, he says, but she is happier if she so abides after my judgment, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. You see, that's Paul. You know, it's not the 13 verses in chapter 8, but we're going to wait for that until tomorrow night. Brother Dennis will be here speaking to you in the morning. What he is getting ready for you, I don't know. And right now, he probably don't know. Because he is a man who will give you what God gives him. You see, I have two men of God that works with me, that is part of this ministry. And they both work from this word. They work with this word right here. Not what they want to think or what they want it to say, but what it says. So we're going to stop here, and God willing, we can be back together again tomorrow evening at 6. We'll be getting into chapter 8 and probably chapter 9. The chapter 8 is only 13 verses. Chapter 9 is only 27, so we can probably get through both of those tomorrow evening, God willing. We never know, but it'll be what he wants. All right. Each one of you, remember that God loves you. Even you that don't believe. If you hear this message, and even if you don't believe, God still loves you, and he wants you to change, get right, go to the Lord and repent, get saved, and get on your way home to heaven to spend eternity with him in heaven. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we do thank you for the times that we can come together to share your word and to gain knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives us, Father, each time that we do come together. Father, we do praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Father. And thank you. Thank you for the things you've done for us and the things that you are doing now for us and the things that you have ready for us, Father. Use us now in great and mighty ways and let us be used to help to bring in the harvest, Father. You tell us that the harvest is right, it's ready, but the workers are few. Use us, Father. We're here and we want to be used. Our life is yours. Father, I give you my life. Take it and do whatever you want to do with it. Father, use it in great ways. Holy Spirit, keep me. Keep me in righteousness. And for those that are with me in this ministry, Father, I lift them up and I pray that they too are willing to give you their lives, to let you live through them and for them. And we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray for peace for them. But we pray, Father, that they will come out from the law to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as their Savior and as the Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, for those that are sick, if whatever, we know that the healing has been given. Open their hearts and minds to be receptive. Let them lay claim to their healing, to the healing power of the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. We proclaim that they are healed in Jesus' name. Now, Father, keep us through the remainder of this evening and through the night so that we can wake to another day in the morning, Father, refreshed and back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Have a great night, all. Good night.